When you look at the Earth today, there are two kinds of liquids that are essential to life. Water, the rivers and ponds and lakes and seas above and beneath the surface, and the oil that is stored below. And when one pollutes the other, it can create disaster.
20 years ago, Chevron sought to drill for oil off the Northern California coast with the support of the U.S. government. But Mendocino County's small and rural community defeated those plans.
Sticky Hair knows he's defeated, and he lets Buddha go, and he becomes Buddha's defender in the dark wood. You folks are Sticky Hair.
Thousands of people came out of the woodwork to publicly oppose offshore oil drilling. Fishermen, environmentalists, and local businesses.
My flag-bearing daughter demands that we stop lease sale 91. You can help. You can be our friend. My ancestors demand it for ages and ages. My Native American brothers and sisters demand it. My dog demands it. You don't need a degree in geology to know that the bedrock support of this movement will not be altered from its destiny, ocean sanctuary.
Locals say their efforts to oppose offshore oil and gas developments here in the 1980s contributed to the passage of a national moratorium on offshore drilling.
Well, is anybody out there listening?
In Washington, D.C.
This is the suffering voice of America crying out for relief.
But nearly 30 years later, the Democratic-controlled Congress allowed that moratorium to lapse.
Drill here. Drill now.
An increase in gas prices, mixed with Republican and industry cries for offshore oil drilling, helped lead the battle cry to reopen the U.S. coastline.
It's clear we need more energy from all sources. And most Americans agree we need more domestic oil and natural gas.
Former President George W. Bush.
They have a responsibility to explain to their constituents why we should not be drilling for more oil here in America to take a pressure off of gasoline prices.
After the moratorium lapsed, the Bush administration introduced a new 5-year plan to open parts of the U.S. coastline to offshore drilling, including Northern California, just before leaving office. Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar.
When I came into office on January the 21st, one of the things that I was handed was a 5-year plan that was published right in that week that essentially set forth the opening up of many areas in the outer continental shelf. It included four basic areas in the Atlantic and the Gulf Coast, in the Pacific, and in Alaska.
And now, some of the same ocean defenders are gearing up for the same fight today. Lynn Woolsey represents Sonoma and Marin counties in Congress.
I mean, it feels like deja vu all over again, believe me. I mean, Rachel Beanham made so much happen, and Barbara Boxer, and here we are, you know.
20 years later.
But we're going to keep doing it, because it doesn't make it any less important. I mean, it's really more important now than it was even then.
My name is Rachel Beanham. And I am here representing the people of Mendocino, really, but I am the chair emeritus of the Environmental Caucus of the California Democratic Party, and I am a member of the Democratic National Committee, and I have been a member of President Obama's Energy and Environment team. But here I speak today as a resident of California, of Mendocino. I would say one-third of this audience came from Mendocino, 4.5 hours each way, to be here. The last time we met with you was in Fort Bragg for Lease Sale 91. The Minerals Management Service came for a hearing, and we had a filibuster. We spoke for 24.5 hours about the need to protect our coast from offshore oil. None of those issues have changed. We still feel passionately about the need to protect our coast, and that's why we're here today. We thought we were done with it, but apparently there is no end to the scheming and the plotting and the carrying on that many industries and even our own government are involved in trying to get to happen. The ocean and the forests are the lungs of this planet, and the Department of the Interior really has a responsibility to act as a steward of these very, very important planetary components of our natural and national resources. So you know that we're committed once again to protect the coast from offshore oil and gas development.
My name is Judith Vitiver. I'm the chair of the Ocean Protection Coalition of Mendocino, California. And I would like to present you with a copy of the proceedings the last time we met in Mendocino in 1988 in Fort Bragg. And we have the 24 hours straight of testimony from over 3,000 citizens that are totally opposed to offshore oil development. That has not changed, and I don't think it will ever change.
But with a new president, Bush's five-year oil and gas plan could change. Well, sort of.
We're not going to please everybody. There will be people who will not be pleased at decisions that we make. But at the end of the day, what we're aiming for is a comprehensive energy plan that really takes us to a new energy frontier with respect to new types of energy and also to address the issue of climate change.
The proposal, grandfathered in under the Bush administration, would open the entire Point Arena Basin, covering millions of acres of offshore land from Point Arena, California, to Humboldt County. The proposal also includes drilling the Alaskan Arctic, Central and Southern California, most of the Atlantic coast, and the Gulf of Mexico, where 60% of the nation's oil reserves are. This according to state scientists.
Finding oil these days is a very highly scientific sort of a thing, and we use all of these people that you mentioned. We generally start with a geologist, and if you can imagine this as representing a terrain which we think has some oil possibilities, the geologist would be the first one to examine it.
The DOI held a series of four regional hearings on the five-year oil and gas drilling plan. One of those hearings was in San Francisco, California, where members of the USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, gave a presentation of their findings.
So, again, this is all oil, an estimate of 85, almost 86 billion barrels in the whole OCS. And the same can be said for gas. So what is technically recoverable, undiscovered resources for gas of the entire outer continental shelf, is almost 420 trillion cubic feet.
Despite findings for oil off California, here on the West Coast, a broad base opposition to offshore oil and gas developments spoke out against drilling. California Senator Barbara Boxer.
Our state clearly is saying to you today, no. The irony... Mr. Secretary, the irony in all of this is that oil companies currently hold 68 million acres of onshore and offshore leases they have not developed. What is this all about? Just putting some more assets on their books? America has to care more about its resources than that. Now, the Energy Information Administration estimates that even if we drilled across all the areas that were previously in the moratoria, it would meet 1% of our daily oil consumption by 2030.
Congressmember Lynn Woolsey.
Mr. Secretary, these waters are some of the most biologically productive on the planet. They are located in the California upwelling zone, one of only four zones on Earth that collectively produce 20% of the world's fish, even though these waters make up only 1% of the world's oceans. Upwelling produces a food web that begins with tiny phytoplankton and nourishes thousands of species, including the blue whale, the largest creature ever to exist. So productive is this environment that it supports 36 species of marine mammals, including the king predators of the seas, orcas, and including great white sharks, as well as the largest seabird colony in the lower 48 states. Through these waters, Mr. Secretary, migrate three threatened salmon species, which is the final hope of a restored fishery and the thousands of families that depend on it.
So what are the impacts of offshore oil drilling? NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, knows.
The toxic properties of oil can damage or destroy plants and animals. I mean, just a dime-sized blotch of oil on a bird can impair its insulating ability, resulting in hypothermia and death.
Pedro Nava represents the Santa Barbara area in the state legislature, which experienced an oil leak last December and the worst oil spill in California history in 1969. He was one of a handful of state lawmakers urging restoration of the moratorium.
I represent Santa Barbara. We have paid the price for oil exploration. We have seen our beaches stained and soiled by the sacrifice of oil in our coastline. And we say no more. No more. Do you agree?
While several California Congress members spoke at the hearing to oppose drilling off the Pacific coast, no one urged a renewal of the moratorium. Dan Hamburg is a former congressman, a Green Party member, and the executive director for Voice of the Environment.
But it should be understood that the reason we're here today and the reason the moratorium on offshore oil and gas development is no longer in effect is because the Democrats capitulated to the oil companies just before the election of 2008, when, you know, all your listeners will remember that gasoline was over $4 a gallon and everybody's freaking out and said, we need more oil, we need more oil, we need, you know, drill, baby, drill. And the Democrats got cold feet, and they allowed the moratorium to expire. And therefore, we have hearings like this. Basically, the oil industry said, well, we're going to pump millions of dollars into the political campaigns of coastal representatives and senators who represent coastal states around the country, and we're going to get this moratorium killed because we want to get out there into the outer continental shelf. Now that we've jacked up prices and Americans are scared to death of what they're going to face at the pump, and we're going to create a political storm, and we're going to get the moratorium lifted.
Oil and gas industry officials, although outnumbered, called for opening up the U.S. coast to offshore drilling.
Joe Sperano. Joe is with the Western States Petroleum Association. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I respect the fact that there are divergent...
Can you give him a round of applause? You know, I mean, you know, he's here, you know? It's a tough crowd. Joe,
you're very kind,
you.
Sir, and thank
your
you.
Your point of view is important.
No, this is an emotional issue, and this industry respects
please
that.
Please, I want you to respect him in the same way that I will respect you. So let's hear Joe.
There's some factual information that underlies why gaining access to additional domestic supplies, even here in California, is important. First, right now we import 60 to 65% of every drop of oil we use every day here in America from a foreign country. That's not good energy security. Secondly, there are billions of barrels, according to your own MMS agency estimates, 10 billion barrels of oil offshore California in these leases. What's important about that is if we could produce those and bring them to market, that would allow us to replace California's foreign imports for 35 years. Thirdly, the issue of jobs and revenues, it's all in your report, billions of dollars of revenues for the state and local governments to balance their budgets, thousands of jobs. And finally, the notion that this industry doesn't care about the environment or is irresponsible is absolutely wrong. According to your own MMS reports, we've produced 1 billion barrels of oil in the last 39 years from offshore California. During that period, 850 barrels have been spilled into the ocean. That's 850 too many. Don't miss my point, please. Zero is our target. But more oil seeps from the floor of the ocean off Santa Barbara every week than has been spilled. So I think taking all that information into consideration would be very helpful, and we hope that you'll do that.
Denise McCourt is the Industry Relations Director for the API, the American Petroleum Institute. She urged opening the U.S. coastline to drilling in the name of national security.
We need to be able to look for some more domestic resources, and the Interior Secretary recognizes that. For our energy security, we need to be able to look for more energy resources here in the United States, whether they're onshore or offshore.
Industry insiders say technology today is more advanced, and oil drilling can be done with more ease and less impacts. And they're making the case to the American public.
Well, with advanced subsea technology, one platform can now gather oil from wells 40 miles away. So what used to take many just a few years ago now takes only one. That's more of the oil and natural gas we need from less than meets the eye. Log on to learn more.
But in California, lawmakers have a different vision. California lawmakers and representatives from the renewable energy industry are looking at new ways to make power. Jackie Speer is a Congress member representing San Francisco and San Mateo counties.
Terry, I want to tell you about a small company in my district. I visited it this week. It's a company by the name of Solarzyme. It is remarkable in that it is feeding agricultural waste products like wood chips and sawdust and grasses to a variety of algae and then harvesting the oils that the algae produces. These oils can be used for everything from cooking oil, it's as good as olive oil, to clean biodiesel and even jet fuel. While I was there, I drove a conventional vehicle that they had poured this biodiesel into it, and I rode it right along the streets of South San Francisco. That is the kind of investment we have to make. That is the kind of effort we have to take in order to make sure there is no more offshore oil drilling off the coast of California.
Several renewable energy company representatives spoke not just about what is possible, but what is tangible. The National Energy Information Administration estimates it will be up to 10 years before new oil and gas rigs will begin producing oil. Representatives from the wind industry say they can do better.
Wind. Use of wind energy will increase in the future and help the United States to become more energy independent. But wind energy is nothing new in America. The idea of windmills was brought here by early European settlers and used in many ways to power grinding mills and later to pump water for the steam locomotives that connected New York and San Francisco.
John Bonanno is president of Principal Power, a wind power company. He estimates they can have an offshore floating wind power plant producing power in 5 years. He had this exchange with Secretary Salazar.
I'm the president of a company that's doing something pretty innovative, and I know you're very supportive of offshore wind. And we do a floating wind foundation for deep water harvesting of that wind resource.
And that's your company, Principal Power?
Principal Power, yeah, based out of Seattle. We have an office here in San Francisco. We're developing a power station in Oregon right now, which I was talking with the governor about earlier. And we'd be happy to do it here in California as well. And it's great to see that you yourself are here at these meetings and listening to the public about how we feel as citizens we should use our resource. And I think preserving and being stewards of the environment is principal for us. And I think we've developed a technology that can enable the harnessing of this great resource. And it's over 300 gigawatts of energy potential within 25 miles of shoreline of just California.
Let me ask you a question, because it's an important point that you're making. How far along is the technology to be able to use these floating platforms for wind energy that would be right. able to be used in the deep waters?
Well, I'll answer it in two ways. The first is the technology was developed by PhDs from Berkeley's Naval Architecture School. And they went on to do natural gas work in Houston, and they now are doing design and patent work for us for this new structure. The first installation will be in Portugal, beginning construction in 2010. Our plant in Oregon is 150 megawatts of capacity, which is about 35 units. Each unit is about 5 megawatts of power. But I'd like to go back to what the Representative Woolsey had to say, which was appropriate siting is very important for us because we can site these as far out to sea as is necessary so that they disappear beyond the horizon and there's no visual impact at all.
Now, did you say you had a project in Oregon?
We have a project in Oregon. We're looking at a project in Maine. And we
How big is the project in Oregon?
150 megawatts, 35 units.
35 units, and how far off the shore?
It'll be 13 miles offshore.
13 miles offshore, and do you have a timeline yet with respect to that project?
That's still being worked out between ourselves and the PUD. We're not a developer. We sell the product to a development partner, and that's yet to be worked out. We have a memorandum of understanding signed
with the PUD. What's your guess?
Well, you know, with the right financial support, I think we could be in the water within 5 years, and that's a really big piece of energy.
And the Portugal Deepwater project? When do you think that will be
begins
up
construction
and
of the first unit is scheduled for next summer, and you know it's going to be a single unit build out with a phase.
So you'll begin next summer in Portugal. When do you think that project will be finished?
Oh, finished a couple years out because it takes a while. It's 150 megawatts of power, so it's going to take a while.
Are there other deep water floating kinds of platforms like this that have actually been constructed?
There's currently one being constructed for off of Bergen, Norway. It's a company called Hywind, which is a spar technology borrowed from the oil and gas business. And much like us, we're leveraging a very mature business in wind and a very mature business in the oil and gas offshore structures to create a solution to this problem rather than creating more problems with the oil and gas.
But here in Mendocino County, some local residents don't want any energy developments in the ocean. Anna Marie Stenberg.
I urge people that are involved in ocean protection, that are involved in stopping the use of fossil fuel, to please look at wave energy. And those wind turbines that they're talking about putting way out in the ocean, that's all a pilot, that they don't know how to do it. What, we have all this empty land. When we left Mendocino County to come down here, and by the way, in a biodiesel car that burned cooking oil, used cooking oil, when we came down here, the winds were 50 to 60 miles an hour on the coast, right where I live, on the coast, on the land. We were so glad to get out of the wind. It had been like that for 4 or 5 days. What's wrong with putting, we already know wind turbines on the land work. We have a bunch of ranchers that need the money. Why not lease the land to them? Thank you.
Other renewable energy possibilities include the use of solar power.
Or using the sun's energy to produce electricity. The sun produces lots of energy every day, enough to power 31 billion planets the size of Earth. Of course, we don't need that much power, but we definitely need to find a better way to utilize the energy that is coming from the sun.
That would mostly be on land. Then there's also offshore wave energy, another renewable power source locals are concerned about. Again, Vetiver.
This is what is being proposed for off our coast in Fort Bragg, which is ground zero, not only for wave energy development. If you could take this and pass it around, take a look at that. That's a wave energy machine that is the most mature of the technology right now. It's 450 feet long. It's 15 feet high. It makes horrible noise. It has to be painted orange, and it will be lit up at night. And they want to put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these out along the coast. And there are, I hate to say it, there are ocean activists that are supporting this along with ocean wind energy. And if we don't want to completely destroy our ocean, we need to get our heads into something that will work. I would like to see a cost-benefit analysis of universal rooftop solar, which is an incredibly advancing technology, and land-based wind energy that is not going to kill birds, and geothermal energy as a solution to most of our problems, including our economic situation. And if the oil companies want to help with our economic situation, I would suggest that they return the tax breaks that they got and also the subsidies that our taxpayers give them. So that we can develop the sources of energy that are going to help us survive. Thank you.
And then there's energy conservation. Environmental groups gathered in San Francisco to oppose offshore drilling and support a renewed moratorium. Brian Nowicki with the Center for Biological Diversity dressed up as a polar bear.
It's very hot here today for a polar bear, but it's also been increasingly hot in Alaska out on the ice where the ice is melting and taking away our habitat. And that is directly because of global warming. And that's why we're down here today to ask for solutions for global warming and no more oil drilling in the offshore habitat.
A large Mendocino County contingency could be seen wearing blue shirts with a red crossed out oil rig. Kendall Smith represents the coast on the County Board of Supervisors.
Well, this was a shirt from the Ocean Protection Coalition that many, many folks here are wearing and were given out to those of us that were prepared to speak.
Smith delivered a letter to the Department of Interior opposing drilling off the Mendocino coast. But despite public outcry, more drilling is still on the table. But is drilling off the coast of Mendocino and Humboldt counties likely? Bina says no.
The only two areas that are being considered by anyone at the moment are in, one is in the Gulf of Mexico, off the western side of Florida, and the other is in Virginia, where they think they found a pool of oil off the coast of Virginia. Now, the Florida area that the oil companies have their eye on is protected by the only federally mandated moratorium that's currently in operation, and that's because the military uses that area for a variety of things, and it's off limits to any kind of development. So unless the military stopped using it and the moratorium was lifted, that will not happen. So those are the tracts off of Florida. Now, the ones off of Virginia are another case. I don't know. There is beginning to be an indication that the people in Florida, Virginia, are not so crazy about the idea of offshore development. I think that at first it seemed like a good idea when the price of oil was really high, but now people are rethinking it. And I believe that Governor Tim Kaine is not going to go for it, because it postpones the movement, the economic movement toward development of alternative renewable sources of energy. So I do not think that is going to happen. In fact, I would be really kind of surprised. And I know that Mike Thompson, as far as our area is concerned, has introduced a bill twice. In fact, the first day of this Congress, he introduced a bill to protect our coast permanently from offshore oil development.
Congressmember Mike Thompson was not at the hearing due to other congressional matters. His bill, H.R. 204, remains in the Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources and has no co-sponsors. Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar expects to have a decision on what areas will be opened for oil and gas drilling and what areas will be opened for renewable energy developments by the end of this year. The public comment on the Bush administration's five-year oil and gas proposal ends in September. I'm Christina Onnestad for the KZYXNZ Community News.